Welcome to Briefings in Brief, an audio digest of IT news and information from the Packet Pushers at packetpushers.net. It's where we talk about vendor briefings, industry research, and generally make some commentary. I'm Greg Farrow. It is 19th of December 2017, and today I'm looking at the Broadcom Tomahawk 3 ASIC, which has been announced, and the news goes out today. It's a 12.8 terabit per second line rate Ethernet switch ASIC. Now, just think about that. Bask in the terabits per second. Not just one, not just six, not even 7.5, but 12.8. Now, this switch is the pitch that was made to me was that this is uniquely tailored to the need of hyperscalers. So, if you wonder why you probably haven't heard about this from your traditional vendors, it's because the Tomahawk 3 is going to be the world's first 12.8 terabits per second switch chip. It's in sampling, which means it'll probably ship around the end of 2018. And the goal here is that hyperscalers who need to do 100 gig, 200 gig, and 400 gig Ethernet will be all over this like a rash, like seriously. Now, particularly because in hyperscalers, they have high port radix networks. What that means is they just put switches, vast data centers with 80,000 servers, and they have hundreds and hundreds of switches all over the place, and the data could talk anywhere to anywhere. There's east, west, and there could be multiple hops. So they build their switches to have high port radix, which means they need to be very low latency. Hence, Tomahawk 3 is specifically architected in its buffer architectures and its forwarding performance to be the lowest possible latency and the highest possible speed. It's like a Formula One car, useless for just about everything unless you're racing in the Formula One. That's what it is. So that's why it's also got solid instrumentation, but not amazing. It's got 40% less power, and it has 75% cheaper cost per 100 gigabit per second bandwidth. And that's because it uses something called 50 gig PAM4 signaling. So in today, most of our switches use 25 gig NRZ or non-return to zero, and this now switches up to a PAM4 signaling, which has been in the pipeline for several years now as they work through the process of designing these things, I think. And of course, the final thing is not to forget the Broadcom API. So when you program these switches, you use a proprietary API that Broadcom owns, and that has a serious thing. So what does 12.8 terabits per second mean? It means 32 ports of 400 gigabit Ethernet, 64 ports of 200 gigabit Ethernet, and 128 ports of 100 gigabit Ethernet in a single switch. Okay, just think about that, 128 ports of 100 gigabit Ethernet in a single unit. You're going to be doing that using 50 gig single lane PAM4 encoding. So normally when 100 gig works, up until now, we've been doing 25 gig NRZ channels. 425 gig channels makes 100 gig, and that's why your normal switch can actually do 25 gig, 50 gig, 100 gig, and then it can also clock back to 10, so 10, 25, 50, 100. This one switches it up. Now, even though it's a 50 gig PAM4, it also still supports 25 gig NRZ. So if you still want to use it for legacy mode, if you want to have legacy SFPs, it's possible to set it up in that way. Just to get a scale of this, today we look at I've talked a few times about the OCP, Open Compute Platform Backpack Switch, which is very popular in the hyperscalers in that model. That is basically 128 100 gig front-facing ports. It's a six-slot chassis. And the way that it works is you basically put the motherboard for 32 ports, 100 gig, you put six of them. And then you have in the back, you have another four ASICs of Tomahawk 2s to give you the collapsible line rate forwarding. This switch, so what used to use 10 ASICs, in the backpack OCP, has now shrunk down to a single ASIC. So what was 10 switches is now one switch. Of course, our hyperscalers are still going to go out and do that because their architectures are radically different to the way we work in the enterprise. The enterprise is now gets the cast-offs from the hyperscalers in effect. At hyperscale, it's all about performance, as I talked about. It's latency, it's about L3 routing, it's about label switch fabrics, and about buffering or tuning algorithms so that load balancing is even over the thing. So this chip has been designed for that. It has no capability for a programmable data plane or very limited, and that's very well suited. That low latency is good for that, especially the deep learning, machine learning, artificial intelligence. You know, there's so much data is being read and written and so forth. And of course, the other one is storage. If you're building a good-sized cloud, you're going to be moving to NVMe over fabrics. And if you're starting to do I/O out of SSDs and not using SCSI, the actual read-write performance of an SSD using NVMe is, I think it's like 10 or 100 times greater. And that's going to put a vastly increased load on the network. So NVMe over Ethernet is a big deal, and this chip is going to be used for that. I just want to compare this briefly to the Trident 3, which is the other Broadcom chip. It has a briefing on Briefo a while back on that. It has a programmable pipeline with lower latency, In the enterprise, that matters because your latency isn't all that high because you're not normally chaining 6 or 8 or 12 of these switches in the line. So latency matters less. What matters more to you is that programmability. You might want to do some VXLAN termination or Geneva termination in hardware. The Tomahawk 3 has the same power as the Trident 3 and the same cost, but it does twice the bandwidth, but no programmability. And effectively what they've done is reallocated the programmable, the real estate inside the ASIC that does programmability into just adding more ports, more speed. So it uses a 16-millimeter die process, which they claim gives them an 18-month advantage over competitors. I don't have nowhere to understand that, but I do actually know that the smaller the die size, the faster the switch. So let's quickly get some interpretation on what this means. This is a piece of an ASIC that focuses on low latency, so it's not a flexible architecture for overlays that need or want programmability. So that is your ACIs and so forth. They're unlikely to use this chip unless you put it in the spine. I wouldn't put it past Cisco wasting money on building a spine-only unit and treating it as though it's got magic properties in it, but that's still a really insane way to do it because, you know, a handful of nanoseconds of latency isn't going to make any difference in an enterprise data center, no matter how large you are, unless you're at 80,000 servers. Even at 10,000 servers, I don't think your latency would be. You would want the flexibility and programmability, and, you know, this idea of having different switches in the spine is crazy to my mind. The fact that Broadcom is building nearly dedicated ASICs for the cloud providers is a reflection of just how much money is being spent by cloud providers on their data center build-outs. Like, they're spending literally multiple billions each. You know, Azure, Google, Alibaba, you know, the Chinese companies as well, but just building vast data centers and their need for products that are being built for their exact requirements. There's so much money coming out of that market segment that they're now, the ASIC makers are making silicon to just solve those. Just a reminder that Broadcom has three ASIC families. There's the Tomahawk, which is for speed and port density, which is this Tomahawk 3 is the announcement today. Trident 3 is for programmable features at medium density, so i.e. enterprise data centers. And then the third ASIC is the Jericho, which is an ASIC that's more targeted towards carrier-grade needs such as routers. So you're going to start seeing that on line cards, say from companies like Arista and Juniper, where they use that to program the forwarding on the line cards in their routing engines, that sort of thing. I think the days of vendors making custom silicon might be fading away fairly quickly as, you know, Broadcom's, this is a scale-up business. The larger the volume you can manufacture, the better your competitive advantage, and that's why Broadcom bought Brocade, that's why it's trying to buy Qualcomm. The bigger, just the way that making ASICs works, the bigger you are, the cheaper you are, the more scale you've got, the better your business is. Also remember that Broadcom is the incumbent in this market. It doesn't actually have to be better than the competition. It just needs to be good enough so that people say, don't switch away. Look at Microsoft Windows. Not a great product, but it's good enough so that people have no reason to go to a competitive product, and there's no emerging market there. We've also seen Marvell buying Cavium. They're also consolidating in the switch market, so we'll see less ASICs going forward. I don't believe that Cisco can compete with Broadcom and their custom cloud scales chips, which might be a slightly customized version of some Marvel silicon. I don't think that's practical anymore when most people are not focused on the hardware. You know, this idea of, you know, drawing data out of the hardware, when increasingly, you know, other visibility vendors are starting to look at put an agent into the container or the hypervisor vSwitch and you just extract the data out of there. Why do it in the network where it is actually quite expensive and very hard to do? Not impossible, certainly practical for some people, and it is the absolute source of truth, but increasingly many customers can get a working solution just by looking. It's in the analysis, I think, not so much in how you get the data these days. We've got choices and it's practical. And finally, if you are in the enterprise, just remember that this whole Tomahawk 3 announcement probably doesn't matter to you since you probably don't need more than two switches anyway. And quite honestly, having two switches with 32 by 400 gig ports or even or even more, where you've got like 128 ports of 100 gigabit per second, that wouldn't make sense. Having just two switches at that sort of density, you know, just doesn't make sense for most enterprises. You'd be better off having six or eight switches just for reliability so that if you lose a couple of switches, you don't have a massive service impact. This was a briefing in brief from the Packet Pushers, published when there's something to say. For several other podcast channels, plus blogs and news over at packetpushers.net. And we have free membership at packetpushers.net/members, which will get you in touch with everything that we're doing and some interesting stuff that's coming up in 2018. Thank you.